Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us today. If you just tuned in, if you've been listening to us for a while today, thank you for that too. Dave Anderson is our guest. Dave is a member of our Brain Trust, and he used to be in the automobile business. He ran a number of successful automobile dealerships, some of the most successful ones in the country. He now is doing speaking and writing about businesses. He's a leading sales and management expert internationally. People know about him all over the world. He's the author of more than one book, including Up Your Business, the one I'm holding in my hand right now. Dave Anderson, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's great to be back. Thanks.
It's good to have you back, and especially it's good to have you back in the USA.
Yes, yes. It's been a busy jaunt in different parts of the world here lately.
The last time you were here, you were on your way to Russia.
Right, yes.
And I asked you to come back when you got back from Russia and to give us a travelogue so we can live vicariously through you.
It was quite an experience. I guess.
When did you go?
I was there just last month.
Yeah.
And I went to Moscow, and I spent most of the time there in Moscow. And I was actually talking to a group of business and church leaders, which I thought was an interesting combination, about leadership, because the same principles apply.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever type of organization you're building. And there were about 600 people that came to this conference, Jim, and they came from all over. I mean, some of them rode the train for 2 and 3 days.
What?
To get to the conference. Well, they don't have the access to resources. They don't have shows like yours. They don't have the bookstores filled with business books and things like we do.
They're hungry, aren't they?
Oh, they're hungry. They're hungry. And they're struggling out there with business right now. It's so corrupt.
Well, and the government doesn't seem to be regressing instead of progressing, doesn't it?
Well, Jim, I'll tell you, it felt like anything but a democracy out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that to call it a democracy is kind of a joke. I mean, we were walking around Red Square and saw soldiers continuing, you know, just picking people aside at random and checking their papers.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, checking their papers around the tomb of the unknown soldier and over by Lenin's tomb and just stopped. Now, we didn't get stopped, but, it was interesting. I stayed at the Grand Kempinski Hotel there, which is actually the Ballstad Kempinski Hotel, probably the best hotel there, because when you go there, you don't want to stay in a cheap place, that's for
right.
sure.
Yeah.
Well, they just still don't have amenities. And I was sitting down there in the restaurant two or three nights, nice restaurant, having a meal, and I saw more guns in Russia than I saw when I used to live in Texas.
Wow.
Mafia. Our tutor and guide told us, he said, those are mafia over there.
Well, where were the guns?
They were on their hips, under their coats.
Yeah, you could just see them.
You can see them, and you can see the way that they were sitting, that they were there to protect people. They had a lot of bodyguards. Most of the really successful business people out there have bodyguards because kidnapping is a big business.
Mm-hmm.
And corruption. The small businessman just absolutely gets beat up and shaken down by the mafia.
Well, that's my question. What is the climate over there for small businesses?
It's growing, but it's rough right now because you've got the government who is still wanting to micromanage what you do, and then you have the mafia who really runs things there, who want a cut of the action. And as far as finding good consumers for your products, there's really no middle class there. You have the very rich who walk around with the suitcases full of cash, and you have the very poor, and there's just not a lot in the middle. And I was just astounded how poor the country still was. When we drove from the airport to the hotel, I counted 4 cars that were just looked broken down and abandoned on the side of the road, just like they didn't have the parts or the money to fix them, just absolutely just abandoned cars.
Now, you know, and see, let's overlay those folks with what's going on in Iraq right now.
Yeah.
The Iraqi economy is, I mean, they've got lots of challenges in Iraq, no question about it.
Right.
But the economy is really budding over there.
Yes, it is. I would bet on Iraq.
We've interviewed a number of people who are over there helping them get their economy going, and I mean there are dozens of newspapers now. There are internet cafes all over the place. I mean,
yes.
There's a lot of the marketplace is really building over there.
It's really exciting, and you know, we don't hear enough about the good things and the positive trends in Iraq, and it's a shame. I mean, every day you turn on the news, it just sounds like, well, it's just one big bloodbath, but it's progressing.
But the interesting thing is, to me, is the cultures of, for example, Iraq and the cultures of the Russians to be able to develop their own economies, and it sounds like the Russians have gotten behind the curve, doesn't it?
Well, the government's going to have to get out of the way, or the businessman's not going to be able to flourish. And small business is where it's at.
Yeah. With small businesses have to fight the government and the mafia, that's not a good sign. We got more to come. When we come back, we're going to talk just a little bit more about Russia, a couple more questions, and then we're going to talk about how to fire a customer. Stay with us, 22.
Hello, stranger.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Dave Anderson, the author of Up Your Business, 7 Steps to Fix, Build, or Stretch Your Organization. And Dave was just telling us about his trip to Russia. And a couple more questions I've got for you, Dave, before we get into the other topic. When you were there, did you feel that you were... They were glad that you were welcome to be there. Did you get any pushback, any static from the authorities for you to be there talking to their people about leadership?
What was interesting is the people who attended, they were just the most warm, friendly, hungry people. But we actually had the building, we had the meeting in a large building that was connected to a government building. And there's just so much suspicion there. People just look at you with the guards. They still have their armed guards everywhere, with a lot of suspicion. And this didn't happen to us, but another conference that we were made aware of about a week before we got there. Remember, these are business leaders and church leaders coming together. And that conference was broken up by the secret police there. They said it was an unlawful gathering. They took them all to jail. They harassed and beat some of them up and destroyed some of the property, and it was really a fiasco. Luckily, that didn't happen to us. But
now, when did this happen?
This was back in April.
The catastrophe you were talking about?
A week before we got there.
You got there?
Just outside of Moscow in a different city there. Yeah.
What were they doing?
They were, it was the same type of class that we were holding, same type of leadership principles. It was a smaller group. I think they had about 200 people there. And what happened was the chief of police just, they said he showed up, he was belligerent with all his little paramilitary guys, and they thought he had even been intoxicated and just broke the door down and took people out. But they all got out of jail. I mean, there was no serious damage, and it's just kind of nuts.
But
there.
Even knowing that, I mean, here's the point to me, Dave, knowing that happened, these 600 people still came to yours.
They did. They did come, and we could have had more. We were absolutely over capacity, and we've got to find a bigger place the next time we go there.
Be going back a couple times a year, aren't you?
I am. I'm going back twice a year.
Good for you.
For the next 3 years.
Good for you. Folks, Dave's an example of the best of our brain trust. When somebody is willing to go and do these things to spread the kind of principles that you and I take for granted that help us to grow our organizations and our economies and provide for our families, we take a lot of stuff for granted, don't we, Dave, that we shouldn't.
We do, and it just makes you so grateful, and we do take it for granted. We're too close to it here, and we have so many opportunities here. When you see the opportunities we have here, it's just a shame that more people aren't doing even well than they're doing when you see what the odds stacked against them in some other spots, And for any of your entrepreneurs who go overseas, I'll tell you one thing that really helped me is you learn a little of the language. Mm-hmm. I mean, respect the people enough to learn a little of the language and be able to speak with them.
Just say hello and goodbye. It impresses them, doesn't it?
It does. Oh, it melts them. And in the airport, I was trying to find directions, and I saw other people asking in English and so forth, and the guards didn't even want to help them. But what I could ask them in Russian, it broke down the barrier.
Absolutely. If you make any attempt at all, it's amazing how much mileage that will get you.
Oh, they will not make fun of you. They will try to help you. It really shows your heart and your effort when you do that. So it's worth it.
It really is. Dave, it's hard to imagine somebody in Russia who actually has a small business who actually has a customer. You probably could never tell one of them to fire a customer.
No.
But in America, sometimes we have to do that, don't we?
Well, we do, and it's a touchy thing to talk about, but there does come a time when it's appropriate, I believe, to fire a customer, and it doesn't mean the customer's bad or that they're wrong even. Sometimes it just means you're not a good fit.
What does it look like?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and is when they don't let you make any money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do have some customers that are absolute moochers, and they beat you out of every last dime. Nothing makes them happy. Nothing makes them happy. And when you start to give it all the way up front, every time they come back to you, they want more and more. And there's some people that just aren't happy unless they're winning and you're losing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got to remember, business is about profits, not just revenues.
Mm-hmm.
And pursue profits first, then revenues. What good does it do you to have more and more revenues if there's no profits?
Right.
And so I've told customers, look, you know, we're just not a good fit. We have a different philosophy of how to do business. We believe in win-win, and this is the way it has to be for us to be able to survive and to contribute and to add value to you. And it certainly doesn't mean you're wrong or you're bad, but you would really be better off to go someplace else.
Have you ever said to a customer, Dave, you know, do you like having my business here? And hopefully they say, well, yeah, I guess.
Right, yes.
Well, in order for me to be here next time you come back, I've got to charge you more than you're willing to spend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because, you know, I was in the car business, as you know. I had a big background in car sales. And you know, if the dealer doesn't make a profit, they really can't take care of you, and they're not going to take very good care of you after the sale. I can guarantee you, they know who they make some money on, and they remember who beats them out of every dime. And when you need something somewhere down the road, they're going to remember that. And don't think that's wrong. A lot of times we do the same thing. And you're going to give more to the people who are reasonable and who let you make some money. That's, I think, business nature and human nature.
Well, and it's not even the 21st century business model, to me, doesn't lend itself to not caring about whether other people make it or not.
That's right. It doesn't. I think you're exactly right there. I think, you know, that it has to be a win-win. And I think another time you fire them, Jim, is when they abuse your people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kelleher at Southwest Airlines used to do this.
Hold on to that thought.
Sure.
Dave, we're going to take a quick break. You're exactly right. That's one thing I've told my people ever since I've had employees is you never, ever, ever have to take any kind of abuse from anybody, especially customers. We're going to talk about how to deal with that when we come back after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm sorry. It's 10 till. Dave Anderson is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm the one who can't tell time. We're back. It's 7-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. A little Joe Cocker for you there. Had him a couple of times today, haven't we? He's a rocker. Serious rocker. Dave Anderson's a pretty good rocker, too. He's the author of Up Your Business, 7 Steps to Fix, Build, or Stretch Your Organization. Dave, give us your website, please.
Yes, it's www.learntolead.com. Learn to lead. Spell it out like it's all one word, just like it sounds, .com. About 400 free training articles there, Jim.
400. Thank you very much for making that available. Tell us about your organization.
We have a sales and leadership training organization. I started about 6 years ago after I left the automotive business. I speak about 150 days a year, just doing everything from 2 and 3 day seminars to 1 hour speeches, helping people get some real basic strategies, no nonsense strategies, to reach their potential individually and organizationally.
All right, and they can find out more about how they can tap into what you guys do at the website, right?
Yeah, we have a whole line of books, products, DVDs, all our workshops. Everything's at the website. It's a great place to learn more about us.
And you got a new book coming out in the fall, and you're going to launch it on the show, aren't you?
Yes, we are. It's called If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown, and then the subtitle is really kind of interesting. It's 10 Hard-Charging Strategies for Leading in Politically Correct Times.
All right.
So the book's got a bit of an edge to it.
Well, I can't wait to read it, and I'm looking forward to getting an early copy, and we'll launch it on the show in October.
I look forward to it.
Let's talk some more about firing customers. You were about to give us another example when we went to the break.
Yes, when they abuse your people, I mean, you don't, you know, Herb Kelleher, when he was at Southwest Airlines, and he would get these letters of complaints from customers about so-and-so, and he would do his research, and when he found out the customer, you know, yelled, cursed, belittled, disrespected his employees in any way, he'd send them a letter back and say, look, don't abuse our people. Go do business with somebody else.
Right, go fly and with somebody else.
That's right, and I just thought that builds such great employee loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't trade your values for valuables. You know, if you value your employees, and if you have these values that we're going to take care of our people and so forth, and then people abuse them, don't trade your values for valuables. Just to get the customer's money, you're going to sit there and let them abuse your people. That's wrong, and your people pick up on that.
Well, absolutely, and if there's one thing they expect you to do is to back them up.
Absolutely they do, and
especially
that builds a loyalty.
Once you've heard the whole story,
yes,
and you've made sure that your people haven't done anything wrong themselves.
Right.
You know, and that's what, and but you have to tell them that early on, don't you? I mean, before anything happens.
Yes.
But you have to have that kind of conversation with your employees about these about a customer who might be abusive.
Absolutely, and sometimes that doesn't happen. There's not clarity established at the beginning, but I think that's something you really should cover early on. In an employee's orientation, here's how we want to handle this sort of thing right here, because it's going to happen. I'm in airports all the time flying around. I see it happen every day, people shouting and belittling and disrespecting people behind the counter, and it gets them absolutely nowhere. And some of the people are trained to handle it really well, and some of them absolutely fall apart. It really depends on setting it up right to begin with.
Well, absolutely, But you see people get so emotional, and if they're about to be stranded, you can kind of understand the tension and the emotions.
It's very stressful.
But some people just don't know how to behave, and you don't need them as part of your organization, do you?
No, you really don't. You don't need them as part of your organization at all. And quite frankly, it does work both ways.
Customers are part of the organization, aren't they?
They absolutely are. They are. And you know what? You don't need them as part of your family. Look, you keep doing the right thing and you'll have plenty of customers. Start making compromises, you'll lose your customers and your employees.
When you fired customers before, and I know you have,
yes.
What kind of responses have you gotten?
They're absolutely shocked. They cannot believe that we wouldn't want to do business with them or that we wouldn't want their money. But we tell them why. We tell them very respectfully. And I think it really makes them go away and think, because they think as long as they've got the checkbook, as long as they're spending money, that gives them a license to be an idiot. And that's not the case.
Well, and you know, Dave, for small businesses, it's hard to fire a customer. We need these folks.
It is hard.
We think we do, don't we?
It is hard to fire them, and you know what, though? You look at the cost of firing them, but then you better start looking at the cost of not firing them. And the cost of not doing it is staggering and will come back, and it'll diminish your self-esteem, your morale, and eventually your bottom line.
When you fired a customer, have any of them said, oh, I didn't realize that, I'm sorry, what can I, you know, have they tried to redeem themselves?
I can't remember, and I cannot remember one. I think their ego or pride was hurt so bad that
they always went away, huh?
Try to redeem themselves. They went away very meekly and mildly, and never saw them again.
Well, that's not a very good record, but maybe you could, maybe folks, we could try to tell them that we'll give them one more chance if they'll behave themselves. Hey, Dave, thank you for being here.
My pleasure as always, Jim. Look forward to our next visit.
Thank you very much. Give us your website one more time.
www.learntolead.com.
Thanks, Dave. See you next
time.
Thanks,
Jim. Take
Dave
care.
Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.